11:15 yep. on Thursdays and Tuesdays. We get Mabel Louise coming in here and bringing us great things. And, yeah.
Thank
How
you,
are you?
Thank you. It's good to be with you
yes.
and that you're back home safe. Nice to be away for a week to enjoy the 80-degree weather down at Fort Myers. Yeah, that's nice. Beautiful area. Love to be there right now, wouldn't you? Although our weather is good. The Lord's blessing us with some temperatures in the 30s. How about that? Well, it's only 12 days to Christmas. Are you counting down? Well, how's your list to do going? I bet you're saying, oh, Mabel Louise, I have so much to get accomplished before Christmas. I don't know how I'll do it. Oh, my goodness. I always make a list and cross it off day by day. And I notice that my list is going down just a little. And that's good. But believe me, at my age, I just say, if it gets accomplished, good. If not, it'll wait. Someone asked me the other day, they stopped by the studio to see us and to pick up something. And they said to me, Mabel Louise, what statements have you made through the years that you'll be remembered by? And I said, I don't remember. What do you want me to say? And Carol was standing not too far away, and she said, 100 years from now, you won't know the difference. Well, that is true, and that is my statement. So I selected a verse today that will help those of you who are under a lot of stress and you're not quite sure how to handle it. Let me give you what the Lord says about it, okay? Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7. Oh, it's a good one. And this is what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's what it's saying. Stop being so stressed out. It'll wait. It'll be accomplished, and you'll look back and say, phew, I'm glad it's all finished. Well, today I'm going to continue on with my series of messages entitled, Who is This Jesus, the Christ of Christmas? And this, as I told you before on other broadcasts, this was stimulated in my heart and mind by a mother, or grandmother, I should say, who had her granddaughter ask that very question. Grandmother, who is Jesus? Well, it broke her heart, so she got busy and moved closer so that they even sold their home and moved up in the area where her children lived, where this little granddaughter lived, so that she could share the good news, the gospel, with that precious little one. So we've learned from the four gospels that it was urgent that we know that Jesus is the Son of God, born of flesh, came to earth that he might save his people from their sins. Jesus wanted to confirm the faith of his disciples, and so one day while they were away from all the crowds, and as the Bible says, all the multitudes, and the disciples and Jesus were praying together. And in the midst of this prayer meeting, Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered and said, well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he asked the second question of the disciples, and that was, but whom do you say that I am? So on my last broadcast, I brought some stories behind those in the Bible that hated Jesus and just considered him another man or another prophet, certainly not the Messiah. So today I want to bring the positive side of that and give you some of the testimonies of Bible heroes who believed with all their heart that truly Jesus was and is the very Son of God. So I think the best one to start with would be John the Baptist, don't you? John was sent from God, for that's the meaning of his name. He was absolutely fearless, and he had a message from the Lord concerning the Messiah, Jesus. So every day he would cry out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare the way of the Lord." Luke 3:3-4. The people were moved by his messages, and they came from everywhere to hear him. They enjoyed his preaching. Then that big day arrived, and Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River where John was preaching. He came to be baptized by John, but John didn't feel worthy. But he goes ahead and obeys Jesus. And this is what John said in John 1:29-34. Let me read it to you. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, because he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I baptizing with water.' And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it rested upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.'" So that was John's testimony. Well, what about Peter? Let's go to Peter, okay? Bless his precious heart. Yes, he had hoof and mouth disease and was so impetuous. But he finally came around after denying Jesus 3 times. And it was Peter who answered Jesus' questions when Jesus asked him, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded by saying, "Blessed art thou, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Then in Peter's famous preaching at Pentecost, Peter declared that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. Peter was then a changed man, and he was so convinced now of who Jesus was and is in his own personal life. Bible history tells us that Peter was so convinced of his faith in Christ that he requested to be crucified upside down, since he felt unworthy to be crucified as Jesus. And you remember that at Pentecost, Peter preached that famous message to multitude of people, and 3,000 souls were saved. Wow. Truly, he was convinced who Jesus really was. And then another beautiful testimony of Jesus being Lord of Lords is the thief on the cross. Remember that story? I love it. For that thief did not have time to be religious. Ha! Isn't that something? He didn't have time even to be baptized or to answer any of the other ordinances of the church. Not that the ordinances are not important, but this testimony proves that Jesus can save under any circumstance. That thief heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine when the thief heard Jesus say that? That after suffering with those nails pierced in his hands and his feet, that he still asked God to forgive them. Wow, what love, really? And then he also saw Jesus commit his mother over to be cared for by John, even in the midst of all of that agony of pain. Jesus took time to take care of his mother and to make sure she was cared for the rest of her life. So the Bible says that she went home with John. And then all of this beautiful, tender, and loving response from Jesus hanging there on the cross in horrible pain, it convinced the thief to change his mind and recognize Jesus was and is truly the Son of God. Here's what he said: "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord," look at that, he called him Lord, because he recognized who he is. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Whoa, isn't that something? Let me ask you, how did the dying thief know that Jesus was the Son of God? Well, here's the answer. No man can call Jesus Lord, save it be revealed by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. In other words, the Holy Spirit revealed to the thief who Jesus truly is and was. Do you call Jesus Lord of your life? Oh my goodness. Well, let me read a little bit more of the scriptures there. And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, "If you be Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's found over in Luke 23rd chapter 39 through 45. And I have one more, almost out of time. Thomas was one of the disciples. Remember that story? Yes. I think he was born to question everything, don't you? Maybe it was from Missouri. Show me state. The world is full of people like Thomas, isn't it? Maybe there's someone listening to me today that's just like Thomas. There are two kinds of doubters, one who refuses to listen to the facts and one who wants to believe but has to be convinced. I think Thomas wanted to believe, but he had to be convinced. Thomas questioned whether Jesus was truly God in the flesh after the crucifixion, for he asked himself, why would he allow himself to be crucified? You see, Thomas had not listened to the scriptures that taught that Jesus had to die for our sins. The other disciples had seen Jesus after the resurrection, and they told of seeing his hands and his nail-scarred feet. Thomas said, unless I can see it for myself, I will not believe. Well, the other disciples tried to tell him all about seeing Jesus, but he still doubted. And he said, I will have to be shown the truth. Well, Jesus did reveal himself in his resurrection body to Thomas. Jesus appeared in the midst and he said, Thomas, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas fell to his knees and said, my Lord and my God. Yeah, I could go on and on with testimonies, but I don't have time. Oh, I'm so thankful that I realized these beautiful truths of the Bible when I was 16 years of age. And since I was 20 years of trying to convince everyone that I can, and that Christ of Christmas is truly the Son of God, born in a manger, born to die for your sins and mine. Let me ask you, do you know him as your Savior? Please trust him today and allow him to be your joy for the Christmas season. It would be the best Christmas you ever, ever experienced. Been good to be with you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Mabel Louise. I especially want to thank you as a Thomas, because we don't always get a whole lot of credit. Because we want to believe. Yeah, it's not a willful thing that we're in just this rebellious thing that I don't even want to believe. I want to go my own way. Yeah. There's plenty of people that way.
Exactly.
Some of us are desperate inside. We have this sense in which we got to know the answer to this. It's the only important thing in the world.
And how can they know unless we tell them?
Yeah.
We have to tell them.
So I just want to say to, you just given this call again. You always do, to draw people to Jesus. And I just want to affirm that to anybody. I just want to say to you, if you are someone who would like to believe and you're just confused and you hear voices, so to speak, not voices in your head, but, just this voice of sarcasm and cynicism at this time of year, the bah humbug about the Christmas story, about miracles. We should be beyond that. There's a lot more to that. Than we realize. And so thank you, Mabel Louise, for opening that door.
You're welcome.
You opened a door for people to be able to come in to believe.
And you know what? Believers need to zero in on God's word and learn how to answer that question.
Indeed.
For the world out there, because they're asking it.
And there are answers.
And the children especially.
Yeah.
They're so open
Indeed.
To the gospel, and they want Jesus in their heart. Could I just say something?
Yes, please.
I was so thrilled yesterday, Pat. I had a call from my little Jackson. He's my great grandson.
Yeah.
He belongs to Christina, that's Connie's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be 8 December 31st.
Okay.
And yesterday, while he was studying his lessons. The lesson, he's a homeschooler.
Okay.
The lesson talked about where would his soul go if he should die? Mm-hmm. It jarred him to the point where he ran to his mother and said, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Mm-hmm. So he called great-grandma and grandma and told them the good news. Believe me, that made my day.
I guess so. Praise God. Wow. Thank you. That's good. That's good. I love it. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe you don't have to be 8 years old. You can be 80 years old. And it's true that people of all ages have been able to find Jesus because he's still seeking men.